Ever since it was founded in April of 1961, the Peace Corps has grown as a volunteer-based branch of the U.S. Foreign Service. More than 200,000 volunteers have been sent to use their skills to help out people where they need it most. They're assigned to nearly 60 countries today. Their mission is to partner with participating countries and host communities to provide service and training where they need it. It helps promote a better understanding of Americans in those countries, and Peace Corps volunteers come back to the USA with a better understanding of those countries and their cultures. After graduating from the University of Nevada, Las Vegas with degrees in history and art, Tim Suchlin signed up for a 2-year stint with the Peace Corps. They sent him to Kazakhstan to teach English at a secondary school. Tim writes in his memoir that living in the town of Yavlenka was as surreal as a sitcom in a vast landscape on the steppes of Central Asia. Tim's book is called A Five-Finger Feast, 2 Years in Kazakhstan, Lessons from the Peace Corps. Tim, welcome back to Travel with Rick Steves.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So these three goals, that's pretty interesting. And one thing is you're going to learn about them, and that means we're going to learn about them because you come home and you bring that sensibility.
Yep.
They're going to learn about us. You represent us in their country, mm-hmm. and to provide a service. Now, that service is interesting because that mixes in politics and culture. And a lot of times they don't want to know how we do it, or, mm-hmm. or they're offended by how we do it. How is that finessed?
So the first goal of the Peace Corps for Kazakhstan was they, in the early 90s, wanted to have English teachers. They wanted to improve English education. I think they saw that as a means to connecting with the outside world.
Because up until then, they had been Moscow ruled,
yeah.
and the
mm-hmm.
second language would have been Russian,
yes.
I'm sure.
Yeah, actually, probably the primary language would have been Russian, and the uh-huh. secondary language would have been maybe Kazakh or whatever
yeah.
ethnic language that the people were speaking. So the government wanted English education and to improve English education.
Oh, so they call up the Peace Corps and they say, hey, we're open now.
We're
free. We want to look a little more west. Your guys over. We'll take the free teachers.
Yeah, we'll take the free work, yeah. And so the Peace Corps went in 1993 and operated until 2011. Our primary job for most of the volunteers was English education, especially in rural areas where it's harder to get English teachers. Mm. So a majority of the volunteers were working in pretty remote rural villages.
Did they want you to also bring Western values?
I don't necessarily think they wanted Western values. They want to connect to the rest of the world. They see that as like an economic opportunity.
Economic thing, yeah. But nobody was looking over your shoulder saying you can't talk about that.
There were certain things to be cautious about. The Peace Corps actually helped train us as well, just to be cautious about certain topics. And
yeah.
and as well, there were sort of a contingent of people within the Kazakhstani government who didn't want Peace Corps there.
Right.
Sort of the old KGB people in the bureaucracy.
Do you think the Peace Corps has an agenda to be evangelical about American values up front, or is that just the hopeful result of exposing people to us?
I mean, I think if you look at the history of the Peace Corps, yeah, there's a little bit of evangelical
Americanism,
you know, why it was started during the Cold War. But I think overall, the intention of the Peace Corps is to promote world friendship and world exchange of ideas to promote openness in the world.
So that was a great thing from the optimistic times of John F. Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
What's the status today? Is the Peace Corps still something America is enthusiastic about, or does that ebb and flow depending on who's president?
I would love for Americans to be enthusiastic about the Peace Corps. I think for me, I think it's actually one of the greatest things that America has ever done.
Well, I know you think
Yeah,
but what about who's ruling our country?
Exactly. I think, you know, probably there's some ebb and flow in who is in charge of the country as well. I mean, it's a government agency. But I think there's a lot of bipartisanship in the Peace Corps because there are both people who are on the left of the spectrum and the right of the spectrum, and they're, you know, that they've have Peace Corps experiences.
Yeah.
Some of my best friends today are Peace Corps volunteers just because you form a community when you're in your country, your host country.
What do you guys understand that the rest of us don't? I mean, because you do have that bond. I think there's something special.
Well, it's probably a little bit like if you're in the military or any sort of tight-knit, you know, organization.
Yeah.
One of my friends and I, when I first moved to Seattle, he was here. And we actually were in the Peace Corps together but didn't know each other particularly well. And we connected here because of our Peace Corps experience.
Yeah.
He was living here. I moved here. And his dad was a former Navy officer, and he would just love to hear our stories. He said we had better stories than his Navy stories just because of the stuff that we had to experience.
You know, I just noticed while you're talking, on the spine of your book, it says Peace Corps Writers. That's your publisher.
Yeah, that's a small organization that promotes essentially putting the stories out there for Peace Corps volunteers, returned volunteers.
I would imagine there's a little oversight on the tenor of your reporting.
Not a whole lot. I mean, they're independent of the Peace Corps. So,
okay. So it's a good read. It can be candid.
Yeah, exactly.
So, warts and all.
I was trying to be as candid in my book as I could be. And, you know, there are some downsides to the Peace Corps, but overall, I think it's a really positive organization.
We're hearing about the benefits of a 2-year volunteer stint with the Peace Corps from Tim Suchlin right now on Travel with Rick Steves. Tim describes his experiences in Kazakhstan in his book, A Five-Finger Feast. For an earlier interview with Tim, there's a link to our show archives at ricksteves.com/radio. Now, you wrote pretty frankly in your book about the loneliness, the mundane, you know, the difficulties of spending 2 years so far from home, and especially Kazakhstan. I mean, Kazakhstan's a big, arid, landlocked, sparsely populated, poor place.
Yeah, yeah.
With a lot of baggage.
Yes, yeah. So, yeah.
It's a complicated mess.
It is. It's a complicated country. Yeah, there was some times when it was lonely. There's boredom. You know, there's only so many elementary conversations in Russian that I could have with a local because my Russian was not very good.
And where was the nearest Peace Corps volunteer?
The nearest one was about 2 hours from me in a city called Petropolisk. So, and there was a small group of us in and around that city.
So you'd rarely get together and you'd have some interesting conversations.
Yeah, for sure. Getting together with the other volunteers was always a nice experience because we can just kind of let loose and be who we are. You know, we didn't have to be on guard because when you're a Peace Corps volunteer, you're kind of in a fishbowl. You are the American in your sight.
So you walk down the street and
everyone knew who I was.
There goes Tim. What did they call you?
Yeah, they would call me Timothy Mr. Suchland was the name in school. And so you'd walk down the street and everyone knew who you were. I had many random people approach me and just be like, hey, you're the American. What are you doing here?
Well, I wonder about that. And I want to talk about that because I would think there'd be maybe some older people or more people that had a hang up against capitalism or the West or whatever.
Yeah.
And you represent a lot that's different from their heritage.
Yeah, of course.
So what was that experience like? How did you have to disarm that?
Well, I would say most people were curious. You know, they were more curious than who you are. They wanted to get to know who I was and also the mission of what the Peace Corps is doing. And some people were familiar with the Peace Corps and why we were there and saw the benefits of that.
It must have confused other people.
Yeah, and then you'd get an older generation of people, and I'd say some of them were even more curious than the younger ones because the younger ones already, you know, when I was there, you can listen to a Katy Perry song on the radio, or you could, you know, these different pop things that they would get.
Tim, you were there for 2 years, and in your book, there's sort of like the happy year and then the year that was kind of a drag.
Yeah.
The way I gathered, you were in a vibrant family for the first year, and then you were in the home of a lonely, quiet babushka for the second year with almost no reason to get excited about anything.
She was great, though. I mean, she was a widow, and so she just wanted somebody to live with her, you know, just to keep her company and have a second person around. And that year, it was probably not as exciting because it's, you know, with the first year, everything's fresh and new and different.
Yeah.
And the second year, I was getting used to everything and my Russian was improving. And partly my Russian improved because she spoke no English. And so we just spoke Russian and have tea together and then watch Russian soap operas every evening. So
you watched Russian soap operas every evening with a babushka.
Yes, those were our evenings.
And I bet the plot of a Russian soap opera is predictable enough where you don't need a mastery of the language.
No, yeah.
Well, tell me about the first year, because that sounded like fun.
Yeah, so I think the first year I was with a Kazakh family in my village, and they had two parents in their late 30s and then three teenage siblings. And that year there seemed to be a lot of kind of pomp and circumstance about my arrival with I was the judge in a local beauty contest. I was asked to come to different events in the village.
Wait a minute. They took the American who didn't know anything about the culture, really, to be a judge in the beauty contest.
Yes. Yeah.
And, tell me about that.
Yeah. So the first few weeks that I arrived to my site, I get this invite to come and be a judge of the Miss Acile, that was the region I lived in, beauty contest. And it was a little awkward because some of those people in the contest were my students at my secondary school I worked at. So, but I spoke really no Russian at that point. And so I had one of my best English students as my interpreter to tell me what was going on.
And were there different parts of the contest? Were there the talent and the, and the beauty and all that?
Yeah, there was like talent and fashion. And there was a bikini contest. It was really strange to be this judge. And all the other judges were esteemed people within the community, like business people and government officials.
You were esteemed then.
Yeah.
You made the cut.
I was the youngest, 22, you know, at the time, and youngest judge in that whole contest.
Did the winner then go to the nationals?
You know, I didn't really understand enough to know what was next, but the winner was essentially decided by the mayor of the village. So
okay.
He chose it, and that's what we went with.
Tim Suchlin served in the U.S. Peace Corps by teaching English to students in Kazakhstan starting in 2007. He writes about his Central Asia adventure in his book, A Five-Finger Feast. It prepared him to work as a school counselor and an artist in Seattle today. His website is timsuchlinart.com, and that's spelled S-U-C-H-S-L-A-N-D. Tim, I had a Peace Corps friend in Bulgaria, and he claimed that more Peace Corps volunteers fell in love and married a local in Bulgaria than any other place. That's a big part of getting 2 years in a foreign country. You're young, you're single. What's that dynamic of romance on the road and Peace Corps volunteers?
Yeah, in Kazakhstan, it was very similar. There were a number of volunteers who got married, and in our training, the Peace Corps staff would joke, you know, turn to your neighbor in any meeting, and one of you guys will get married here to a local.
Because you're the ticket. You're the ticket out.
Yeah,
you're the ticket into the rich world.
It could feel like that, but
I mean, you could be abused. Did they prepare you for that?
Did they prepare us for relationships? Not really. You know, it's. They give us some cultural competency and training, but most of the people who I know who got married in the Peace Corps, the people that they married are people who want to be with them. And one of my good friends is actually, they are moving back to Kazakhstan because of opportunities.
I was going to ask you that. Would you say most of those end up moving back to the United States together or staying in that home country?
Probably most end up moving back to the U.S., but there are definitely a number who go back to their host country.
I've run into lots that end up staying in the home country because they really are, well, the person who lived there loves it, and the person who was serving there learns to respect it and enjoy it.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
So you've got that dimension of the Peace Corps, and then you wrote that the Peace Corps is the toughest job you'll ever love.
Yeah, that's actually a tagline from an old Peace Corps ad aired, you know, back in the day when Peace Corps was much newer. And it's a tough job, and it's one of those jobs. Like my wife, my friends, even my coworkers probably complain about how much I talk about the Peace Corps. And,
yeah.
You know, one reason why I wrote the book is just to get it on paper and be done with it.
Now, you signed up for the Peace Corps. Was it just because you didn't know what else you were going to do for those 2 years, or did you have a personal mission? What did you hope to get out of it?
Yeah, well, I caught the travel bug in college. I studied abroad in Spain and Germany, and I wanted to do something, I think, a little different, and I knew I wanted to travel more. So for that reason, I mean, Peace Corps is a great opportunity
for
Americans.
If you want to live on the road like for 2 years, that's a long time, especially.
Yeah.
It's a budget trick. You can do that and won't have to pay for it.
Yeah, of course. But it is, I mean, it's 2 years of commitment, and it's work. You know, it's not just travel and have fun. But
does everybody want to go to like Portugal, or do you get to choose, you know?
So when I was in the Peace Corps, when you applied and you were accepted, you had some geographical preferences, but you were assigned to where you're going. I don't know what you would, if you said no, I'm not going to go there. I don't know if they just say, okay, well, bye-bye.
Or they say, well, where would you like to go? they don't need you in Sweden.
And I think that's different now. It's I think you can actually apply for specific positions and roles.
Do they care if you have the language skills for that?
No, they teach you all the language. I have a friend who speaks fluent Spanish, new French. He thought he was either going to go to French-speaking part of Africa or Latin America for the Peace Corps, and he ended up going to Kazakhstan.
And they knowingly turned their back on those language skills.
Exactly.
And Kazakhstan, where his Spanish was nada.
Yeah, exactly. And they teach you. There's 3 months of language and cultural training when you first arrive to country.
Do you have to try out for the part, or does anybody get accepted?
You have to apply. There's an application. I think you have to be 18 and over. There's really no cap on how old you could be. So it's not necessarily fresh college grads. You know, it could be mid-career people. It could be retired people.
And you get basically what? They fly you there. You get the training. They put you up in a house and you work. Do you get a per diem? Do you get a little pay? How does that work?
When you are in country, you get pay based on the level of what an average person gets paid.
And that money is American taxpayer generated.
Yes, exactly. And then that is put towards your host family. It's put towards any sort of other needs, food. It's put towards any small travel that you might need to do.
So you come out of that 2-year experience with just what you had when you went into it.
For the most part. And then at the end, there's a relocation allowance that they'll give you, but it's, you know, a car payment.
I hope it's still funded, and I hope it's still healthy in our society, because it seems like you can make a case it's a good taxpayer investment.
Oh, yeah. I think it is. In today's world, I think, you know, when I was there, this was 14, 15 years ago, the world seemed like it was opening up. It was so much more open. And today, it's just as things you hear in the news with things going on in Russia or Ukraine, it just seems like it's closing off much more. And that's where I would say, you know, advocate more for more Peace Corps.
If you believe in bridges rather than walls, Peace Corps is a good investment. Tim, we're out of time, but I would love just to have your take on a final question. You, back when you were in your 20s or something, you decided to spend 2 years of your life as a volunteer in the Peace Corps. Looking back on that now, was it worth it?
Well, I think every volunteer will get more out of it than any host country national. You know, it's selfishly, yes, I think it's worth it for the volunteer. But I think for the human connections that I made, you know, just the other day, I was emailing with my old counterpart who I worked with, my old host brother, because there's some recent flooding that's occurred in northern Kazakhstan. And so I was just emailing them just because they're my friends, they're my family. You know, it's the people-to-people connection that's important.
That's a global perspective.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the most beautiful souvenir. So from your experience, this would be a good investment for a young person who wants to dedicate a couple years of their life to something out of the ordinary, something exceptional.
Yeah, exactly. The Peace Corps, I mean, it broadens your horizons. And for me, it was this experience that really tested who I was as a person and who I wanted to become as a person.
So who did you want to become?
After the Peace Corps, I became a school counselor, and that experience is directly and because of being in the Peace Corps is why I do what I do today.
Tim Suchland, thank you for your service to all of us for being in the Peace Corps and for your book, A Five-Finger Feast.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, the Peace Corps marching song, won't you sing and march along? Doing good in every hemisphere. Oh, the Peace Corps marching song, won't you sing and march along on our way to find the new frontier.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced at Rick Steves Europe in Edmonds, Washington by Tim Tatton, Kazmira Hall, and Donna Bardsley. Affiliate relations are by Sheila Gerzoff. Website uploads are by Andrew Wakeling and Sherry Quirk. Jerry Frank wrote and performed our theme music. You can find links to our guests and search the show archives at ricksteves.com/radio. We'll see you next week with more Travel with Rick Steves.